I want to tell you about a really great Bravo-themed podcast called Behind the Velvet Rope. You're going to love it. Host David Yontef interviews housewives, Bravo celebrities, and reality TV favorites. Some of his recent guests have included my friend Sutton Strack, Tamara Judge, Melissa Rivers, and the list goes on and on. Whether they're currently on a hit show like The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills or haven't been on TV for years, gone but never forgotten is his motto. And let me tell you, if there's a story to get to the bottom of, he goes there. The best part? There's a new episode every weekday, Monday through Friday. So what are you waiting for? Subscribe today to Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts, Acast, Spotify, or anywhere else podcasts are found. And get ready to have all your Housewives, Bravo, and reality TV dreams come true. This podcast is intended for a mature audience as it contains adult language and can get rather intimate. So grab a cocktail, find a safe place to listen, and make sure your kids aren't around. Hey, it's Garcelle Beauvais, and this is Going to Bed with Garcelle. Every episode, me and my rotating mix of girlfriends, some celebrities, some not, will be heating things up with provocative girl talk. Get ready. No topic is too taboo, and everything is grown and sexy. Tonight, I'm going to bed with a very special guest, my friend, actor, comedian, Oscar winner, musician, game show host. I could go on and on and on, but the most important thing, he was my former on-screen lover. Hey, yes. Jamie Foxx.
Hey, baby.
And the other person I'm going to bed with tonight is a great friend, wardrobe stylist, interior decorator, and sometimes a life coach. My girl, Maisha Long. Hey, girl.
Hi, girl.
I mean, I love how women, y'all go, when I see my homie, I'm like, what's up, my nigga?
I'm shooting you.
What is your drink of choice tonight?
I'm tequila.
Of course you are. Maisha, what's your drink of choice?
I'm having actually tequila also with ginger ale.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm having a little screwdriver to get in the mood.
Oh, you know what? That is vintage, Garcelle. A screwdriver is grown. Mm-hmm. It's well-traveled. You know what I mean?
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. You guys, all three of us are Sagges.
Oh, my. What?
What?
Yes. Sad.
This is terrible.
That's tough. We are committed to not being committed.
I was going to say.
Ain't that the truth, right?
Not committed. Let's drink some that.
What is it? Can we be committed? Because I, you know what I do? Okay. Like now, out here in the dating world, mm-hmm. I actually read signs. Like, am I compatible? What's the percentages?
Sure.
I've gone to air. I've done everything that I can to try to make it work.
You are in touch with your feminine side. I do the same thing, too.
That's nice.
I've been told I have dude tendencies, that I tend to be the dude in the relationship. That's a problem.
Well, you know what it is?
What?
In this business, mm-hmm. if you don't have the dude tendency mm-hmm. as a woman, be honest, it is tough. So you command your own space. You command your own world. So therefore, a man coming into this either has to outdude you or he has to be subdued. Like, I remember a very famous actress was dating a guy who was a singer. I remember walking by, and he literally had the purse on the carpet. I was like, what are you doing? He's taking a picture. He's holding a little purse. I said, bro, it ain't going to work, my boy.
That's subdued.
Yeah, that's subdued. Don't compromise. My sister tells me all the time, Jay, if you end up going to the grave with it, just don't compromise, because the worst part will be is that you're with someone who makes you tuck yourself in. Makes you say, I wouldn't be mm-hmm. doing this, but I'm doing this because it's you. Listen, mm-hmm. we ain't got that much time on Earth.
No, we don't.
That's true. That's very true.
If you think about all the millions of years it's been here, it's mm-hmm. a blink of an eye that we live.
Sure.
Don't waste your blink, honey.
That's right.
Don't waste your blink.
You know what's interesting, though? I remember, Jamie, you told me when we were doing our show, I think I was mm-hmm. sad about somebody. Somebody broke my heart. And you said, always leave a little for you. Like, don't give it all away. And
always.
I carry that with me everywhere I go.
You have to. I just told a friend of mine, I said, always save some love for yourself, because that's love right. is a motherfucker. That's my t-shirt. Love is a motherfucker. And when you feel that, when you feel that feeling like your ass halfway drowning and shit, when they do something, you gotta be careful in what you say at the beginning. I always put it out loud. I say, this is what I like. But then when a girl tells you what kind of guy they like, mm-hmm. but if they not describing you, I like somebody tall, dark skin. I said, what the fuck? I'm not that.
Another thing you should never say, I was with a guy and we were hot and heavy. It was great. And I was going to role play. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, if you saw me with a guy, if you saw me going down on him, how would you feel? And it was, oh my God, that was the end of it. That was the World War III.
Garcelle, I didn't know you was going there. I mean,
yeah.
I need to get a pamphlet. Like, I need a pamphlet. But I know what you mean. It's like, you got to take them slowly. And even like, when you're in love, the shit fuck with you, because she'll describe the guy, mm-hmm. and then I'll see a motherfucker out that looks like that dude.
Stop it.
And she ain't nowhere around, and I'm mad at this nigga. I'm like,
stop
okay.
it.
Okay.
Stop it.
I wish he would. I wish
yeah,
he would.
What's up, Jay? What's up with fuck off? That's what's up with me, nigga. Stay away from my bitch. Like, what?
Oh, my God. So you guys were all single, right?
Yeah. Wait a minute. How'd you get single? Hold on a minute. I just see you with a dude.
No. Did you not see my plot twist? I had a plot twist, honey. I had a plot twist.
What was the plot twist? I see you with the dude. You introducing this to my man. And he's all uncomfortable and shit.
By the way, you never really give any guy that I'm with any real attention.
Ever. I hate them all.
Why?
I think me and you should have been together. So every time I see him, I always go, damn, I fucked up. I say, I know. So every dude, I'll be like,
I feel it. I feel it and they feel it.
Fuck it. Listen, we are in a relationship forever, no matter if we're
forever,
in the same.
Forever, no matter what. You know what I always say? Candy Burris was on the podcast and she goes, you know, I don't get it. Why aren't you and Jamie together? And I said, well, you know, we have a really great relationship now. And then I said, he's also hung like a horse.
Oh, you're done.
I was like, what would I do with all that?
You take it one step at a time. What you can't eat, just put in a doggy bag and save it for later. I don't know. It's a tough thing when it comes to relationships, because you got to find something, I think, that someone that you can really understand and be yourself with, especially in our business, because it's an up and down thing. And there's a lot of emotions that people don't understand. Like, somehow being a celebrity, they feel like you're not human. And we do have things that are afforded to us or rewarded to us because of who we are. But on the inside, we're still the same people from Texas or from Haiti. We're still the same people. And so it's hard, but it has to be a person that really understands. And that's been tough.
Totally. It's tough.
Yeah.
What do we do? Do we have a temperature check at the door? Maisha, are you dating? What are you doing?
Like, I'm dating. It's hard, but it's COVID. So you put up with shit that you wouldn't put up with pre-COVID.
Like what? Like, what are you putting up with?
Just bullshit. Men just always have some kind of just bullshit. So, you know, men are full of shit.
Present company excluded.
Present company excluded.
I'm the worst too, because I'm the nice bullshitting motherfucker.
It's the sneaky one.
It is the sneaky one. It is. I just found out that there's COVID in semen. So
what?
That's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying.
Not in mine.
He said there's not in mine.
It's Dom Perignon in mine. Because when I go, it sounds like a fucking champagne bottle.
So we are pleasuring ourselves more. I feel like I have more toys.
Let me be honest. I mean, I think I did it every single day during quarantine. It was I ran out of baby oil. At one point, my dog had came into the room.
Uh-uh.
He saw me. I said, oh, shit. He's like, man, what the fuck? I said,
even he's tired of it.
Yeah, he's like, come on, dog. You can't. But he was jealous of the fact that I had hands.
Let me ask you this. If you're going to break up with someone, do you have closure sex so you feel it one more time?
I don't.
Or do you just cut it?
cut it.
Nah, you're going to have to cut it. Because she's like, if that ass is right, you're going to keep on. Nah, nah, get out of here. Wait. Get your ass out of here. Wait.
Yeah. That's so true.
You got to cut that shit off.
You
got to
cut it off. You know it's over. So you fuck the shit out of the person.
Oh, my God.
Make them miss it.
Oh, we all know this. It's the last fuck for you. But for them, you want them to always want you.
That's right.
Dastardly. You ladies are dastardly. I sound like Dave Chappelle. You have revenge pussy. Damn.
Okay. Yes.
Pussy's vengeful.
Yes. There's a thing they're talking about where women should love their pussies and name it and say beautiful things to it. Maisha, what would you say to your pussy?
You know, I always say good morning. Hello, beautiful. That's what everyone else
would
say.
Is that what
you
say?
Yeah. I named my pussy Pussy. So we wouldn't have any problems.
Wow.
And I also have this theory that a man should love my pussy like I love it. God forbid my pussy goes missing. Mm-hmm. He should be able to pick it out of a lineup. He should always know.
That listen, I don't know if he can pick it up in a lineup. I think, to me, isn't pussy pussy?
No, it's not always the same. It's different. It's all different. It's all different. I mean, and there's all different shapes and sizes. You know, some of them do this.
Oh, my God. I wish you guys could see this. Jamie is splitting his lips sideways to show how this woman's pussy was. I can't. It's too much.
What do you do? What do you do if it's like that? What?
I just try to do this. Okay, let's get back to let's center her up.
Jamie, I have to say congratulations on so many things, but we're going to start off with the Sony deal. Oh, my God, this is huge.
It's huge, and it comes at a great time. And I'll tell you something, Garcelle, I cannot wait for you to come over, bring whatever you have. I know you have something fantastic because it's not just for me. It's for my people that I've been working so closely with, and this is our opportunity. We started the Sony deal with a great concept. I did Annie. I don't know if that was supposed to be done like how we did it because I sat in the meeting and said, we're doing the Black Annie, right? There's like, Jamie, we're just staying Annie. I was like, well, ain't she Black? It was weird. So that was weird. I don't know. But I saw Jay-Z and I said, Jay-Z, you know, we doing Annie, but the real movie is Niggas in Paris.
Uh-uh.
And he didn't know what I was saying. Yo, so what are you talking about? Yo, what do you mean? Niggas in Paris? It's crazy. What do you mean? So I kept that idea in my head, and I eventually turned it into a movie, and it's the Black Ocean's 11. And
really?
So it's about these thieves, Black guys, girls, that go over to Paris, and they end up getting a job that's an unthinkable, undoable job. They've been asked to steal the Mona Lisa.
Oh, damn.
So that's how we got the Sony deal solidified. That and another movie that I sold over there. My favorite movie is Misery, right? So I recreated.
Really?
I recreated that. And instead of a writer, it's an actor.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So watch this. I'm going to give you a little bit of it. You know how we auction ourselves off to charities? Mm-hmm. Like I said, for $25,000, you can have dinner with Jamie Foxx, right? Mm-hmm. I did that.
You did?
I auctioned myself off. But it was some rich people, but you don't know who the fuck they are.
Right, exactly.
So I go to this dinner in Calabasas, right? And it's going great. And when I walked in, I was like, oh my God, he's here. Come on, honey. He's like, oh God, you look great. You look taller. And you know what actors love more than money?
Yeah.
Compliments.
Amen.
They was complimenting me. They was even loving the bullshit movies I did. I was supposed to be there for 30 minutes. It's like 2 hours. I'm doing Ray and shit. I'm...
You're a mess.
Right? But at one point, it got weird.
Oh.
The husband and wife, who have been all over each other the whole night, the husband goes to the bathroom, and the wife goes, he'll be gone from Monday to Thursday.
Oh.
I went, what the fuck? So basically, I took a kernel of that, and I made a very COVID-friendly movie, one location, about an actor who ends up going to this family, and the family ends up being for Kathy Bates.
Wow.
Oh.
I am so proud of you. I saw on your IG, you said something that your grandmother would be proud of her big-headed boy.
Yeah. When I was born, my Uncle Matt told my mom, that boy going to be 7 feet tall. She said, why you say that, man? He said, shit, he got to grow into that head. So it's... But I know, listen, you know, man, your parents, family, you know. So with my grandmother and what she put, everything that she put into me, and for now to have something like this at this time, it feels great.
Extraordinary, extraordinary. And speaking of family, you sold a show with your daughter, Corinne, who's doing amazing things, right?
Yeah, man. We sold a show called Dad, Stop Embarrassing Me.
Okay, this is where I'm getting to. What have you done to embarrass her?
Oh, come on, Garcelle. Every fucking thing. Like, I'm the dad, you know, I'm like, hold on, motherfucker, I'm gonna kill everybody, you know, I ain't kill nobody. It's like, I remember one time, like, she came to see me on Django, she's with her boyfriend at the time, and she says, Dad, where do we sleep? I said, we only got two rooms. I said, okay, here we go, I'm a new dad, okay? Yo. This is what I'm gonna do. Y'all sleep in the same room, but y'all know not to disrespect. She's like, oh, whatever, Dad. So she walks off, and I grab the boy, I say, hey, you know what the fuck I'm saying. Don't embarrass me. You can do anything when I am. So now I'm laying in the bed with my other girl, you know, who we have another kid with. She says, what are you doing? I said, I'm being new daddy. I'm taking the adventure out of it. See, they ain't going to disrespect. She says, okay, well, you won't be doing that with our daughter. So now I'm laying there like four in the morning like. So I get up. I say, I got to go in. She said, what you doing? I'm going in now. I'm going to act like I need to get something. I knock on the door, open it, and my heart dropped.
Why?
Because she was laying under the covers and he was laying on top of the covers.
Oh,
and
I
was
like, oh, that's
so
beautiful.
Those are the type of stories that we will have so that we can draw from. And you know,
I love it.
And the fact that Corinne is a creator and the producer on the show is amazing. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So it's a good time.
That's really cool. Maisha, do you have any embarrassing stories from your parents?
I have tons. I remember as a child, I had a friend and we were at Penny's and she started to shoplift.
Oh.
And she got caught. I walked out the store, acted as if I didn't know her. Her mother called my house during dinner. My mom picked up the phone and whatever was said, my mother said, oh no, it's impossible. We don't shop at Penny's.
That was her takeaway. Oh, we don't shop. That's hilarious.
Oh, that's so great.
I once told my mom that I was at a girlfriend's house and my dad was back in the picture. And I was like 16. I could drive. And I borrowed my mom's car. So my girlfriend's mom calls the house asking for her daughter. So now you know they know we're not together, right? I'm driving in Miami with this dude. His name was Jackie Washington. He was on the football team. I was driving. He was next to me. And we're driving, having a good time, listening to music. All of a sudden, I see my father is coming the other way. He makes a U-turn as soon as he sees me and start chasing me. And I'm taking red lights after red lights because I want to lose him so that I can get Jackie out of the car. So finally, he had to stop at the red light. And I got further away and I said to Jackie, get out of the car, get out of the car, get out of the car. And then I let him catch up to me. And he was like, follow me home.
Oh, wow.
I knew that was the end of me. I'm surprised I'm here to say the story.
What happened?
Oh, my God.
He beat the hell out of me. They checked into boarding schools, but my grades weren't good enough. Thank God. Jamie, another thing I want to talk to you about is you're going to do Mike Tyson. I remember on the set of Jamie Foxx, so you would do Ray. You would do Stevie Wonder. You would do Mike Tyson. You're getting to play all these people.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson said that boxing is orgasmic. And now that you're working out, do you find that you're getting horny working out?
I got to smoke a cigarette every punch I throw.
Oh, God.
Oh, he's right.
You're so ridiculous. I am so excited to share with you guys. The Bonnet Chronicles podcast is here. You know Tammy Roman from Basketball Wives or as an actress and a comedian, but I'm sure a lot of you know her Bonnet Chronicles, which she does on Instagram. No holds barred, tell it like it is. Well, now I'm going to tell you it is a podcast, and she has people following her like Halle Berry, Taraji P. Henson, Tiffany Haddish. So it's her and her husband, Reggie Youngblood, and they're going to keep it real about sex, love, relationships, all that. And every now and then, Tammy's daughters are going to stop by to give their young perspective on the topics that they're talking about. Nothing is off limits in the Bonnet Chronicles, so you don't want to miss an episode. Subscribe to Bonnet Chronicles podcast, Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to your podcast, and new episodes drop every Wednesday. We are going to get into a little bit of a nightcap. I'm going to ask you to grade yourself in different areas from 1 to 10.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
How would you rate yourself as a friend?
10.
Oh.
I think all Sagittarius are tens. I think we have a weird ability to really like give people a lot of leeway. Constant. I mean, we do. We do.
Maisha, what are you?
I'm a 9.5 for sure.
A 9.5? Okay.
That sounds like she's trying to say 6.
Okay. How would you grade your communication skills? I would say I'm a 9. Because when I'm upset, I kind of get quiet. So I would say a 9.
Is 9 meaning good?
Or bad?
9 is good. 1 would be worse. 1 would be bad.
My communication skills is bad because I'm a guy.
Right?
Because anytime a woman says, we need to talk. Fuck!
That's
when y'all say that shit, when you say we need to talk, in my mind, I see a ladder and a helicopter. I'm a 1.
I can't even catch my breath. Maisha, what are you?
That's where I am, a 6. I'll be a 6.
You're a 6. Pickup lines, where are you? 1 to 10, 10 being the best.
Oh, sure.
I'm a 5. I don't know how to do it. I want a guy to do it.
I'm a 10.
You're a 10? Okay, give me your pickup line. What's your best pickup line?
What's up with that hot mouth?
That's terrible.
SFS, right to the point. Black woman, I'll be like, let me braid your hair for you.
I can't.
That's not good. That's not good.
White woman over there. Hey, you like niggas?
I can't. Have you used that before?
And has it worked?
Which one of y'all white girls like niggas? No, I'm just kidding.
I can't. All right. What is your oral sex grade? I would say I'm a solid 11.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. I own it.
Wait a minute. Let's get into this. Garcia, what makes you 11?
Because I love it. I take care of it. It's all good. I'd rather go down on him than him go down on me.
Oh.
So 11.
You're a giver.
I'm glad I left my dick in the car, because if I didn't leave my dick in the car, this is me. Hey, go get my dick out the club.
What are you, Maisha? What are you? What's your oral grade?
I would say an 8.
8's good. Yeah, Fox, what are you?
Come on, man.
Look, he's looking at his lips.
I'm a 25 on that one.
Oh! Yes, 25.
Yes, okay. Honey. Yes,
this
honey.
Is where I'm going to get you, though, Fox. Your great faithfulness, 1 through 10.
Oh, gosh.
I'm a 9.
Oh.
Nobody's speaking up.
I don't want to incriminate myself.
Do you plead the fifth?
You know what's interesting? If I'm really digging a person, I really don't want nobody.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what it is, though. When guys get hurt early, mm-hmm. it fucks us up. Because, like, I was all in growing up. Like, I was growing up. Oh. You never would have met me. I was going to marry the childhood sweetheart the whole night. Mm-hmm. You know, but they me over so much, so I was like, damn. And I tried to not let it bother me, but it was like, I didn't want to feel that feeling again. Like, when you found, you did what? Yes, I was with him. That shit, you can't breathe. I don't want to feel that feeling no more.
Yeah,
that makes sense. I get it. So now, what happens when you've been hurt? You usually are the one that hurts now. That's what happens.
No, you know what I do? I stay clean. I say, hey, I'm a tough situation. We'll have a great time, but I don't want to be married. But I say, if you want to get out now, I understand. But I'm so gregarious.
No,
why would they want to leave? No, Jamie, you really don't want to get married? I mean, no. George Clooney for the longest time said he wasn't going to get married. Then he met Amal. You haven't found the one, or you know for sure?
I'm sticking to my guns right now. And I'm sticking to my guns because where I live, and meaning like the business that I'm in and things like that, it's just, you know, my kids sustain me. I got a great family. And for something like that to come along and change me at this time, it would have to be monumental. It would have to be something incredible, because it's just hard to trust it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And here's the other thing. Trying to fall in love now, because, you know, I have my daughters. I have their mothers who are cool as shit. And yeah, we just sort of have a thing. We have a crazy cool, like, relationship to where it's like, I'm damn near in a relationship anyway. We travel everywhere. We do everything. Right. You know what I'm saying?
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. You know what I'm saying? And it's a great thing.
I have to ask this question because our fans love us so much in our character. Yeah. Where would Jamie and Fancy be if they were still together?
You know what, man? To be honest, they would be running their own hotel. They would have some kids. He would be crazy as shit. There would be times where we really didn't see eye to eye and maybe even had a breakup, but we got back. And then I think we just sit back and then watch our kids go through some shit. Yeah. Y'all going through that shit? Okay. We went through that shit back
sure
in the day. But I will tell you this, Garcelle, there is nothing like looking at all of those clips that people send me of me and you doing something remarkable at that time. We didn't know, but we were really doing something remarkable, man. And
really
listen, people are chomping at the bit for us to get back and do something. So if there's a way for us to do something, and not just no cameo, but a way for you to come
a real
in
thing.
On Dad Stop Embarrassing Me and be a real thing. And I don't mean like way down, I mean like soon, where we could do something that would be dope, man, because that is a couple like Obama and Michelle, Martin and Gina, Jamie and Fancy. It's amazing. Will
it is amazing.
And Jada is crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. Thank you for the opportunity. I mean, I learned so much from you. I keep telling people it was like an improv class because we would rehearse during the week. But when the audience came, you fed off the audience. And it was just
I
love you so much.
I love
so
you,
much.
Baby.
And you know that.
I love you back.
I'm going to get to my favorite part of the show. This is where we get to highlight somebody who's inspired us, made us laugh, encouraged us. So we call it, who do you want to go to bed with? So Maisha, I'm going to ask you, who would you like to go to bed with?
Prince.
Oh.
I would go to bed with Prince.
Damn, she took my answer.
Prince, for me, growing up, was everything. I met him later on in life, and we had a moment.
You did?
We did. It was really special. I went to one of his 4 a.m.
Yeah,
impromptu
heard about those.
Performances. And he literally sang some songs to me.
Just you two?
It was just us two in the room, and got off the stage and did the whole Purple Rain, Morris Day. He walked by and I swear he said, "You're the finest moment I have ever seen."
Ah.
We danced the night away.
Oh, wow.
We had them put a little meal together for me. And I was a little younger, Sag, and a little shy. So because he was Prince,
right.
I just didn't know if I was ready
for all
Prince.
That. Yeah, got
and
it.
And I never went to bed with Prince.
Wow.
And I would definitely now.
Girl, you went deep on us. Jamie, who do you want to go to bed with?
It's crazy because I was going to say Prince. And the same thing happened to me. He's singing Purple Rain.
Okay.
I'm actually at Paisley Park.
Oh, you go one up me?
He came out and he had a one-piece on. Hair was bumped. I'm actually telling you a real story.
Really?
It's like,
what?
I'm not kidding you. I'm doing a show.
Okay.
In Minnesota.
Okay.
I come out. We go into the alley. It's kind of snowing like a movie and shit.
Okay.
And this big guy in the alley goes, "Hey, he wants to see you." I said, "Huh? The kid. He wants to see you." And it was the security. And so I go. We all go. Me, Johnny Mac, Speedy, all comedians. So we get to his place at like 3:30 in the morning at Paisley Park, right? So we're waiting. And so they had me wait up in some white room. I said, "Hey, man, I feel uncomfortable, but I don't need to be my friends." You know what I'm saying? So I'm waiting. And at like 4 in the morning, there he comes. He walks in.
What?
One piece brown suit, the little belly chain tied up. And he's the most beautiful person I've ever seen.
He is beautiful.
Gorgeous.
And I'll be honest. I said, I couldn't look the motherfucker in his eye because I felt something. I'm just being honest. I was like, damn, this motherfucker is cute.
He was okay. Pretty.
He was pretty. He was the motherfucker's pretty. I said,
he really was.
Pretty.
It was those eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. At one point we locked and I said, oh shit, I gotta get out.
Wow. Wow.
And then, like, the next day on stage, I told the story about meeting Prince. It was hilarious. But I don't think he found it funny.
Oh.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think he found it funny. I don't think he liked that. Because he was a real dude. Like, he wasn't a feminine dude.
Yeah. He's a man.
So we had this sort of tumultuous, like, I'm his biggest fan. December 31st, 1998. It's about to be 1999. I'm in Vegas. That's the first time I saw him. And I had asked him for a picture. And I almost started crying and shit. And he didn't take the picture. But later that night, The Time was performing.
Oh, my goodness.
And they started singing Cool. And Morris goes, all right, I'm finna bring a motherfucker out here. But I don't want him to stay too long.
Okay.
He's gonna come out here, okay? Because it's New Year's. And Prince walked out in a purple feathered like jacket with a fucking guitar and just played the shit out. So,
wow.
I mean, I agree with you. I feel bad that we lost him and didn't get a chance to really hear his perspective on life because his music and perspective was amazing. So I would just like to say I would be in bed with you and Prince.
Nice. Thank you.
So tonight I'm going to bed with Prince. Me too. Me too. I loved Prince. Purple Rain is really when I started loving Prince. And I want to swim with him in Lake Minnetonka. So I want to go to bed with Prince. Thank you so much for doing this. It means the world to me, both of you. Where do you want people to follow you? What do you want people to know about you? This is where you can say whatever.
I have a new show. Animated show Soul comes out. It's the first African-American lead in a Pixar film. It's amazing. Myself, Tina Fey, Questlove. It comes out November 20th. And you can follow me. I am Jamie Foxx on Instagram.
Okay.
And listen, man, it's been great. And Garcelle, I love you and thank you for this.
I love you too. Maisha, where can everybody find you?
You can find me on the gram at Ready to Wed.
You're a mess. Thank you. Be safe out there.
Thank you guys.
You too.
All right, bye.
All right, guys.
Bye.
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 Thanks for listening, guys. If you enjoy this show, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And you can help support us by leaving a review on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. The after party continues on my Instagram at Garcelle or on Twitter at Garcelle B. So make sure to follow me. Going to Bed with Garcelle is an Orion podcast produced by Orion Television, Radio Point, and Beauvais Wilson Productions, distributed by Podcast Nation. Concept by Garcelle Beauvais and Lisa L. Wilson, hosted by Garcelle Beauvais. Executive producers Barry Posnick, Garcelle Beauvais, Lisa L. Wilson, Alex Bach, Richard Corson, and Daniel Powell. Co-executive producers Janae Copeland and Cindy Levinson. Associate producer Lene Sanders. Music from Extreme Music. This show was edited and mixed by Radio Point.